So the title of today's sermon is Authority and Power Part 2. Can we say that together? Amen. And you know, the best thing you can give me today is attention. I said, it's not me you're giving, it's God. So give God attention for the next 45 to 50 minutes. Just give full attention and receive everything that God has for you. Amen. So I will start this sermon by just reminding us, because it's part 2, and I know that some of you were not here last week, I will just use the first 5 minutes to summarize the key points, some key points from last week. And then I will move on to go deeper in authority and power. So last week we talked about what is authority. Authority is delegated power. Yeah? So when you have authority, you may not necessarily have the power, but someone who has the power delegated, yeah, the right or the permission to use it to you. Okay? And the value of authority is the power that backs it up. So if there's no power backing up the authority, then it can be disobeyed and there's no consequence. Yeah? No one is going to respect that. Yeah? But the power backing up that authority is the value of that authority. And it then follows that when you undermine that authority, you are putting yourself at the risk of the power that backs it up. Yeah? And if everybody undermines authority and nothing happens, then there's no authority. Yeah? So remember that. Okay? Next point about authority is that authority enables you to get the job done on behalf of the master. Amen? So when you have authority, or when you've been authorized, it's not just, you know, a right given to you to go and do whatever you like, in whichever way you like. Yeah? It always serves the interest of the authorizer. So the person who gave you authority is the one whose interest you serve with the authority. Okay? So it is possible to misuse authority. Yeah? And it also has its own consequences. It's also possible not to use authority. You can have authority, but not use it. And when you don't use it, you will not get the job done. Amen? You have it, but the job is not done because you're not exercising the authority. You may spend all the time crying to God and say, God, why? Why are you allowing the devil to kick me about? Amen? You have to understand that God has always been on his throne. Yeah? He never moved one day. Amen? The day God will move from his throne, he's coming down to earth to live with his saints, resurrected saints forever. Well, that's what I read in the Bible. The only other time God moved, yeah, he came as Jesus Christ. That's the second person. I'm talking about the Father. The Father is on the throne. He's the one who sees. It's not the Lamb that sits on the throne. I don't read that in the Bible. It's the Father that sits on the throne. Amen? But Jesus is the one who sits on the right hand of the Father. He is the Lamb that stands in the middle or in the midst of the throne. And he's the one that came down to earth. Amen? And he went back to sit at the right hand. Amen? So, God is on the throne. Yet, he allows the devil to operate on earth. Yeah? So, why? Because, as a believer in Christ, he gave you authority. The devil can operate on the earth, but he doesn't have the right to operate in your domain. Unless you accommodate him. You can't accommodate him. So say, oh, Pastor, how can you accommodate the devil? I show you. Just open the door. And say, anyone that wants to come in can come in. Amen? And they will come. And then if they come and they feel welcome, what will they do? They will go back and call some of their friends. Say, we found a party point. Let's go and have a party. Amen. But the approach of the believer is, you're going to say, not here. Amen. Not here. When the devil shows up, you're going to respond and say, what? Not here. But remember, I always say that to resist the devil successfully, you must first submit yourself to God. James chapter 4 verse 7. It says, submit yourself therefore to God. Now, you are sitting on the right platform to resist the devil. And the Bible says, when you resist the devil, having submitted to God, he will flee from you. Then he doesn't flee to hell. Hello? When the devil flees from you, he doesn't flee to where? Do you know where he goes to? Where's the mic? Somebody tell me, when the devil flees from you, where does he go next?
He prowls around seeking who he may devour.
Please put your hands together, okay? He just quoted the Bible verse. He prowls around. He's looking for the next person. The careless, foolish ones. The disobedient, rebellious ones. Amen. Say, I refuse to be a victim of the devil. I want you to understand that the devil doesn't operate alone. He walks through people also. Amen. He walks through the people that accommodated him. Amen. So don't think, okay, you see someone, you look at their face, this person doesn't look like a devil. They could be very pretty and handsome. Huh? But they've accommodated who? They could be wearing a suit and a tie. But they've accommodated what? The devil. You got to have discernment. Someone say discernment. Amen. Let me just go back to the summary. So, if you undermine godly authority, it will affect your life negatively. It's a law. There's nothing you can do about it. If God authorized somebody over your life, they could be your parent. They could be your pastor. Yeah? They could be your mentor. And you undermine that authority, it will affect your life negatively. Because God was going to flow through them into your life. Yeah? And you cut that short. So beware. On the other hand, if you honor godly authority, it will affect your life what? Positively. I want to explain something to you about that. There's something in the Bible. Because like as you grow, God opens you begin to see the word of God. Even you know, about the good word of God, it begins to open up to you. Amen. The children of Israel were leaving Egypt. Yeah? And God led them. Yeah, to a path that they had to encounter the Red Sea. Yeah? And you know they were afraid, but God said, don't be afraid. Stand still. See what God will do. And God, through the word of Moses, parted the Red Sea. And dry land appeared. Amen? And he led the Israelites. Those who were trusting in God. Those who were depending on God. Those who were submitting to God. He led them through the Red Sea like on dry ground. Then what happened? What happened? The Egyptians, I hope I said that right, tried to do the same. Amen? You can read it. It's in Hebrews 11, I think. I can open that for you. But the Bible says that they started off. You see, if God allowed the Egyptians to go to the Red Sea, they will say, what's there? Yeah? What's so special? What's so special about walking to the Red Sea? We did it too. Amen? But God always makes the difference that the Egyptians cannot achieve what is hand. Now, when I'm saying Egyptian, I'm not playing a race game. I'm telling you, Bible, this is a spiritual principle. The Egyptian, the person who is not trusting in God, cannot achieve some results that the person who is trusting in God achieves. Otherwise, they will say, well, I worked that for it. I was smart. Amen? When God went to Egypt, yeah? When Moses went to Egypt, he did the first miracle. Huh? Then the Egyptians also threw down their own rods. The magicians of Pharaoh, they threw it down. I'm like, we did it. Second plague, second miracle, Moses did something, they did it. Yeah, but it got to a time that Moses did something. Then they could not repeat it. Then I say, this is the finger of God. You see, when you honor godly authority, it will benefit your life. Yeah, in the extraordinary. Let me explain extraordinary. Means that it's not just what anybody can achieve. It is the finger of God. They will try to do it the way you did it, but they will not get the result you got. Because that result is coming from the blessing. Are you with me? Someone who went through the same thing you went through. Yeah, they will crash, but you will not crash because you are benefiting from the blessing of honoring godly authority. That's what I mean by extraordinary. It's not ordinary. It's extraordinary. There are some things
that the Egyptians cannot achieve. Yeah? Because if they did it, they will say, well, there's nothing there. Amen? But I tell you something, it's the finger of God. So you want to see the finger of God in your life, working for your good, you must learn to honor godly authority. Amen? Say, I choose to honor godly authority. Amen. Okay, so I just touched some basic principles of authority there. Let me just say another one. This is all from last week. How does authority work? Remember I said authority is delegated power. So you actually, you may not possess the power itself. You're just giving what? The right. Or the permission to use what? The power that belongs to another. For that reason alone, authority works by faith. Amen? Authority works by what? Faith. Now, what is faith? I explained last week that one of the best definitions I've seen of faith in the Bible is ESV, Hebrews 11:1. I think that's the more accurate way, you know, to understand it. Because, I mean, in that English, it will get through. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Every human being operates by faith. Someone says, no, I don't know. Everyone, for you to live, you need to have convictions. You call them your values. Yeah? You may not call them your beliefs, but your values are your beliefs. Because they are your conviction. And you also, all your convictions, yeah, you chose them. Life may present a plethora of ideas to you, but you will choose the ones that are your values. Your values are your belief system. And I want to tell you that you chose them. And so if you have any values that are wrong, you can unchoose them. You can unchoose. Amen? So faith is the conviction of things not seen. Everybody has what? Conviction. Sometimes you may have a conviction even that goes against the evidence. Someone is being nice to you. Well, you have a conviction that they are not a nice person. They are doing everything nice, but you know somewhere that they are hard to get something. Yeah? Then finally, after 6 months, when it happens, say, I knew. Amen? Faith is the conviction of things not seen. And it is the assurance of things over. Amen? So, now, because authority has been delegated, authority is delegated power, how do you receive authority? You receive authority by hearing or by knowing. So, if you know, for me to know I have authority, all I need is that the person who has the power told me. Yeah? See, when I'm leaving home today, you are the most senior. Okay? So when I'm leaving home, this is what should happen, and this is what your brothers should do. And if they don't, this is what you tell them, and they must do it. I've delegated what? Authority. It doesn't matter if they don't know. I have delegated authority to them. Yeah? All he needs to do, he has to know. He has to be aware. And then he also has to appreciate the value of what I've told him. Because he knows that when they mess up, like we're moving from this direction now to this direction, they will be dealt with. See, if I gave him authority and he used the authority when I was not there and they messed up and I came back and nothing happened to them, I failed him. Yeah? It's like he had no authority. But on the other hand, he may say, okay, because I'm the one who always did that, he can't do it. Then he will never use the authority. So authority works by conviction. You must have the conviction that you have the authority. Otherwise, you will not use it. Amen? Say, I choose to have faith in God. Amen. So it's that from there. It works by faith. And faith is assurance. Faith is conviction. And I said, faith is a choice. You choose to believe. Hallelujah. You choose. And you also choose not to believe. That's why you face the consequences of either belief or unbelief. Because the choice you are making. Hallelujah. Sometimes God may present evidence to you why you should believe him. But you may still choose not to believe. It's a choice. Amen? Then, as a carryover, that authority works by boldness. They are actually connected. You see, when you have faith, you will become what? Bold. No, let me say it in a way you understand. When you have conviction, you will become what? Daring. Amen? I was trying to say that last week. So, you know, vicious dogs. Anybody ever met a vicious dog? Anybody like vicious dogs? Oh, Sister Eden is here today. Let me be careful what I say. Anybody like vicious dogs? Like they just, once they grow, you're in trouble. You need to meet Sister Eden's dog, but it's not vicious, but just need to hear it growl. That doesn't happen often, isn't it? Yeah? It's just once in a while when something extraordinary happens. Okay, let me leave you. Amen. So this is my reflection, but correct me if I'm wrong. When I'm walking, I do a lot of prayer walking, you know. And then as I'm looking for aid, I can see the dog. You don't need to tell me his type. I just look at the face. I know, oh, this is the one. He's a vicious dog. Yeah? I was saying last week, what's the strength of the dog? What's the strength of the dog? What was the master weapon of a dog? Or what is the only weapon, really? Anybody help me? Sorry? This. Are you afraid that the dog will kick you? Are you afraid that the dog will scratch you? No. Is there any other weapon a dog has? Someone said back last week, but you can close your ears, stay back. It's the teeth. But why is this so potent? Why will you say a vicious dog and you want to take the other way? If you can. Why? Because you, as a human being, you have teeth, you have hands, you can give a punch. You have legs. You can give a kick. Yeah? You have, what else do you have? You have brain. Your brain is so much, much better than that of a vicious dog. In fact, I have a theory, you can correct me, that vicious dogs are not as intelligent as the non-vicious one. Because they put all their energy in their rage. Yeah? So usually you don't use vicious dogs to be guide dogs. Because they're not really using that part of their brain. So you have the brain, you have the teeth, you have the hands, you have the legs. Yeah? You could even have a weapon. I'm not saying you should, but you could. So why? Why are vicious dogs so potent? Anybody help me? I said it last week, but I'm just trying to teach you something about authority. Yes. Now that man should know what he's saying, isn't it?
Because if it's determined, it's going to...
Yes! They have conviction. They are willing to die without it. When you meet someone who has conviction, yeah, you better make way or give way. Yeah, because they know what they are doing, yeah, and they are willing to go the distance with it. And that's the problem with us believers today. Our convictions are shallow. Huh? They're shallow. You see? I mean, I'm talking about our convictions in God and the things of God are shallow. And the reason is because we've allowed too much worldliness. That's why when Jesus came and they could not cast out the devil from the epileptic child, he said, "Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you?" And the disciples came to him and said, "Well, why could we not cast it?" He said, "Because of your unbelief." Where does unbelief comes from? It comes from the faithless and perverse generation. The people around us, that as we interact and we capture their worldliness, our convictions are shallow. We don't live out the conviction. There's no boldness. There's no determination. Yeah? Amen? Authority works by boldness. Amen? You must have conviction in that which has been given to you. You must have conviction in its purpose. You must have conviction in his power. So we say you must have conviction. in the purpose and power of your authority in order to get the job done. Let's step up to be people of conviction. I just changed the language. I'm going to tell you that we should be people of faith, really. You see, conviction is faith. So if you are people of deep faith, we are people of conviction. Amen? Conviction is confidence. And faith is also confidence. Confidence is boldness. Amen? So if I'm genuinely a person of faith, I'm a person of conviction and boldness. And that's how you will get the job done on behalf of the master. Amen? So I'm still summarizing that, and then I'll teach something new today. So authority was by conviction. I know you're already getting blessed. I can feel it. Now, boldness. I want to tell you three things in boldness. You can use to check yourself whether you're bold. Amen. Now, before we go there, let me just remind you. Revelation chapter 21 verse 8 gives us a list of those who will end up in hell. Some say, I don't like talking about hell. Jesus spoke about hell more than heaven. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. You see that? I'm reading through Matthew now. He's there, all over. And if there's anybody who will teach you about eternity, it's Jesus. Amen? He will teach you better than Peter, James, John, and Paul. Because he is the Messiah. Amen? He's the one who came down from heaven. And he's the one who went back up to heaven. Not just that. He's the Son of God. The unique Son of God. Hallelujah. He said nobody has ascended into heaven before. Except the one who came down. Yeah? That's why you know what? When the disciples, that was three of them, Peter, James, and John, Jesus took them up the mountain of transfiguration. Yeah? They didn't know what they were up for, but they went with him. And then, while they were there, yeah? They appeared unto them, Moses and Elijah. And at the moment, Peter was feeling so good. He said, Lord, it's good that we remain here. I love this. It was ecstatic. Amen? He was, let's just remain here. You know, I can even build three tents. Yeah? One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. None for us. Let's just remain here. This is a glorious experience. And when we were there, a cloud of glory. It was a cloud of glory. It's not a physical cloud. It's a cloud of glory. Came and covered them. You want to be there. Amen? And then when they were still carried away, God says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. That is what's important. What's important is not the experience. What's important is the attention. Hear him. He has something good to tell you about your life and your future and your eternity. Hear him. Hear him. Pay attention to what he has to say. Don't just go for the experience, the emotional experience. Yeah? Hear him. Amen? Hear what? Say, I choose to open my inner ears and hear him. That will change your life. Amen? That will change your life. So, three things about boldness. You can use to test yourself. Whether you are, because without boldness, you cannot operate authority. One, boldness involves speaking out. Oh, and I jumped. Revelation 21:8. To the list, he said, the first two things on the list of those going to hell are the fearful and the unbelieving. In another Bible version, he calls them the what? The cowardly. Amen? The first two people who are on the list of going to hell are what? They are what? Fearful and... No, sorry. Give me Revelation 21:8. New Living Translation or ESV. I can take any of those other versions today. Let's look for those words. Yes, just a minute. I'll audit.
But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers...
Okay, that's good. So he calls them the cowardly and the faithless. That's the start of the list of those going to hell. They are cowardly and faithless. Actually, that's connected. Any other version? Revelation 21:8. I want to show you where that problem starts from. You will have thought that the first on this will be the murderers and sexually immoral. That's also bad. That's very bad. But really, we have to go deeper to the heart of the matter. And in the heart of the matter, yeah, is the cowardly and the faithless. Your faithlessness is the biggest problem. Because when you are faithless, you cannot connect with what God is telling you. Whether for your good. You know, when your salvation starts from being able to hear Him. Amen? Your salvation starts from being able to hear Him. Hear what He's telling you. He's the one to save you. Amen? But He couldn't save you if we wouldn't hear Him. I'm talking about the hearing with your heart. Not just with your physical ears. Sometimes you are hearing something with your physical ears, but you're not hearing with your heart. You can be hearing with your ears, like you're hearing me now, but your heart is closed. Huh? Because you're not paying attention. Or you are paying attention, but you just don't want, you don't, you know, this is my 13th year as a pastor. Sunday after Sunday, I've preached, I've taught. I mean, like, if I went to everyone and go say, you didn't preach and teach, you know, I say, I can't accept. Amen? Every Sunday, unless if I traveled, I'm here, setting up, preaching, teaching. I have labored. Hallelujah. Why are some people not changing? It's not that they did not hear. Yeah? They closed their heart. It's rebellion. And it has consequence. You're in the word of God, but your heart is closed. You're not allowing that word to change something in you. 5 years you've been hearing. Bible says that at a stage you can become hard of hearing. That's what the Bible says. He now began to speak to them in parables. Yeah? Parables is not there to help them understand better. No. Parables is there so that he will not waste his time teaching the deep things to people who are hard of hearing. The people who really want to hear, they will come and say, can you explain to us? Amen? Then he will give them more. Because their heart is open for more. Amen? So, to be cowardly and to be unbelieving, yeah, will shortchange you when it comes to your relationship with God. Hallelujah? When you come to God, open your heart. Someone say, open your heart. Amen? How difficult can it be to open your heart? Can you say it's so difficult to just open? Amen? Open your heart! You know, the Bible says God resists the proud, but He gives grace to who? The humble. Open your heart and hear Him. Amen? Hear Him. The kingdom of God is near you. Say, when we say the kingdom of God is near me. Yeah. The only thing that makes it far is a close that. Amen? It's near. It's near you. When you open your heart, you begin to hear Him. Amen? When you hear Him, yeah? Your life will start moving in the right direction. Hallelujah. So, to be bold, you need to be able to speak out. Amen? Second, to be bold, you need to be able to take action. Speak out. Take what? And finally, to be bold, you need to be able to stand firm. Amen? You need to what? Stand firm. Should we test that principle with the dog? With the vicious dog? Time is going. Yeah, I allow you to test the principle with the vicious dog. Whether those three things qualify. Speak out. Take action. And what? Stand what? Firm. You know, if a vicious dog, if it digs in, it won't let go. You don't want it to dig in, yeah? You can let it dig it into rubber, yeah? Amen. The vicious dog starts digging up by barking. Yeah, you understand? If you don't respond to the barking, and it will bite. Yeah? If you don't respond to the bite, actually, you know what? If it bites, you're done. It won't let go. Amen. Unless you crush his brain. Okay, I'm not teaching you bad things. Okay. What are you looking at? God forbid that anyway, it's under a bite. It's better the dog dies than your leg goes.
May God protect us from vicious dogs. In Jesus' name.
It's a good prayer.
It's a good prayer. Amen. By the way, I don't hate dogs. You know, I love every creation that God made is beautiful when they are operating in what God made them to be. It's just that right now we are seeing the consequences of the fall. Everything is beautiful. Everything. Amen? The spider is as beautiful as the butterfly. On that, in the context of how God made them. Look at the spider. Spider spins a web from his inside, but then is able to travel on that web. I'm like, my basic physics seems to be violated. You know, like, basically, if it comes from you, you should be heavier than it, isn't it? So how come you can stand on it? If only what I'm saying. Something came out of you, so your weight must be bigger than it. Yet, you can travel on it. Isn't that amazing? God is great. Say, God is great. Amen. And all of creation is not here. God put our creation there to show his wonder, his beauty, his glory. Hallelujah. God is great. God is awesome. Hallelujah. He's put out all the evidence there to make us know that he is there and he is great and he's awesome. He's much greater than your smart brain. Amen. Amen. So now, no matter how smart you are, when you need help, go to your closet, close the door, and cry out like a baby to God. I said, God, I am a baby. You know, there's such a song. He said, my daddy, your baby is what? Crying. Is it crying or singing? Sorry. Yeah? Don't go and do that in front of the stage. Go to your closet and cry. Say, Lord God, help me. I don't know how to do it. Help me. Hallelujah. Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. But I dare put a word there, genuinely. Amen? I put another word there, humbly. You know? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. So don't forget those summaries. Now let me now take you just deeper now into the authority. And I'm conscious of time, but I thought I just wanted to establish you in those principles. So let's open the Bible verse to back up something we said. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 to 39. Hebrews 10, 38 to 39. Just to back up the principle of conviction and courage. Conviction and courage. That's what authority takes. To operate authority, you need conviction and you need what? Courage. Yes, Hebrews 10, 38 to 39. Anyone? New King James, New Living. Yes, please help me pass the mic to your mom.
New King James Version. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. 38. Oh, alright. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul.
Amen. The just, the righteous one, we live by what? Faith. Say, I choose to live by faith. Let me explain what that means. That means I choose to live my life by trusting God, by depending on God, by relying on God. Yeah? By follow, yeah? And you can't trust God without listening to him and following his instruction. Amen? If you are not willing to listen, you are not willing to trust. If you are not willing to follow his instruction, you are not trusting. I don't know what else you are doing with your faith, but that's not faith. Amen? Now, he says that he now teaches the principle of faith. You don't draw back. Amen? You may face challenge. Amen? You may face opposition. Amen? You may face discouragement. You may face tribulation or persecution. But don't draw back. Step there. Amen? Stand firm. Amen? Stand what? Firm. Don't shrink back. Don't shrink back. Yeah? Another word for shrink back is cower. Cower is linked to coward. Amen? Don't cringe. Amen? Don't draw back. It's a lack of courage. Yeah? Stay there in your conviction of what God has said.
Yeah? Stay there in the conviction of your authority. Hallelujah. Stay there. Don't back off. Hallelujah. Until you have salvation. Until you have deliverance. Until you have healing. Until you have breakthrough. Sometimes the journey to healing can be tedious. Not all the time. But so, you know, Jesus said, this kind, there are some kinds that don't go out easily. Amen? Some kinds go out easily. Some don't go out easily. But whichever case, if you stay firm, they will all go out ultimately. Amen? Amen? That's why we are of those who believe. We stand firm until salvation is achieved. Until deliverance is what? Achieved. Until healing is achieved. Until breakthrough is achieved. Until transformation is what? Achieved. Sometimes in your journey to transformation, you may just, you know, you may have to make a lot of changes. And sometimes you just feel like, when am I going to get there? When is it going to stop? Don't draw back. Yeah? You have made progress. This not, you know, smile and they say, don't draw back. You have made progress already. So I say, what's the progress? You are here. The fact that you are here, sitting, listen to me now. And your heart is receiving what I'm saying. You have made progress already. You are not who you used to be. Amen? You are not who you used to be. If you are who you used to be, you will not be in this church today. I know it. Because of the way we preach here. Amen? You came back. Ha, you are not who you used to be. Amen? Keep going. Keep what? Going. You will get there. Keep going. God is working. Same with God. He's working. Hallelujah. You don't drop out. You keep going until you get the job done. What's the job? Salvation, healing, deliverance, breakthrough, miracles, transformation, fruitfulness. Amen? Keep going. Hallelujah. Now, I just open one more Bible place and I'll try to explain that for 10 minutes. Then I leave it. So John 14, now we now want to talk about this authority I've been talking about. I've told you how it works. I've told you the principles. But let's now delve into it. What is the believer's authority? Yeah? Do we have what? Authority. What is the purpose of this authority? And what is the power of this authority? And then we will leave it there. And there's no part three for next week. If I did that, maybe in the future, but I leave it there. John 14, 12 to 14. Yes, let's have two people read. John 14. Verses 12 to 14. Yes? John 14, 12 to 14. Yes. Tell us the version. Yes, go for it. John 14, 12 to 14. Please listen.
Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father.
Amen. Let me just stop there. I want you to just listen to that, because sometimes you read that, you may not spot what he's saying. Jesus is saying that if you believe in him, in fact, another version says anyone. Yeah, anyone. Anyone includes what? Includes what? Me. Amen? It doesn't have to include you if you don't want it to include you. Amen? Anyone will not include you if you don't, if you are not interested. Amen? But anyone includes you when you are interested. To be part of it. Yeah? He said the works he did or he does, you will what? Do. That is. Someone said, you know what? I'm not Jesus. You missed it. That's your calling. Amen? Hello? He said, oh, I'm not Jesus. That's your calling. You are called to be conformed to the image of the Son. You are called. I'm reading you Romans chapter 8 verse 29. You are called to be conformed to the image of the Son. Everything you see in Jesus, yeah, can be reproduced in you. That is why he came. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. You can be like Jesus. And I'm not saying overnight. Amen? But it's a journey. Hallelujah. And Jesus gave it the authority. He said, anyone who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. Amen. And then the one that's most amazing, I said, and greater works. Because I go to the Father. Let me explain that principle again. The principle is this. Jesus is not here right now physically. Yeah? Hello? Is Jesus here physically? So when you are in need now, who is going to be the Jesus that will do the works for you? Amen? That's why he said we will do it. Amen? When someone needs to be prayed for, who is going to pray for them now? It's you. Putting that into your spirit. I want you to understand it. Amen? Everything Jesus did. Who is going to preach? Who is going to preach the gospel now? It's not John the Baptist. It's you. Amen? Who is going to teach in your family? Among your friends? Who is going to tell them the word of God? You think an angel will come down from heaven? Yes, you are the angel. Amen? It's not only when you are falling in love that you call someone an angel. You are the angel now to teach the word of God to those around you. Amen? Who is going to heal the sick now? Huh? It's Jesus said in Mark, he said, you will lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's you. But you're never going to they're never going to recover if you don't lay your hands. Get it? If you don't believe that you can lay your hands and you pray for someone, why we even believe that? When you can't even read your Bible daily. Let's start from there. You don't believe the Bible enough to read it daily. Huh? You spend 4 hours on your phone. Yeah? 2 minutes on your Bible. How are you going to then lay hands now? You see, you will lack conviction because you lack attention. Are you with me? But it's you. It's you. No, but someone will say, Pastor, I read my Bible and I pray. And then what's stopping you from laying the hands? All you need is let the problem present. Someone say, oh, my knee is hurting me. Oh, sorry, my brother. Sorry. Hope you feel better. Is it better? Amen. You're just operating on the emotional level. That's what unbelievers do. Believers don't do that. But you can make someone feel better. But feeling better emotionally is not enough. They need to also feel better what? Physically. So you will say, can I pray for you? That was your opportunity to use the authority. What's the worst that could happen? What's the worst that could happen? Yeah, but they were already feeling that way anyway. Did you add to their problem? Amen. Put it there and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. It takes some boldness and some conviction. So Jesus said, the works that I do, he will do also. It belongs to you. What are the works? Mark 16 tells us, he said, these things will follow two believers. They will cast out devils. I want to understand that. I told you last week, I said, the devil you will cast out does not start from others. It starts from your own life. Amen? A typical devil you need to deal with almost all through your life is the spirit of fear. You know that what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7? So God has not given us the spirit of fear. What's he telling you? When he shows up, recognize it. Amen? And say, I rebuke you, spirit of fear. I bind you, you spirit of fear. I rebuke you. Amen? I rebuke you. You anxiety that is taking hold of my mind. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. You spirit of depression. I bind you. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. You speak, another spirit has to deal with his anger. If it's overwhelming you. You know the Bible says, be angry, but do not sin. Or that's why it says, it's his hand. The issue is this. It's not, anger is not the problem. Anger that takes over you is the problem. Anger that takes you out of control is the problem. Amen? You can be angry, and anger can motivate you to do the right thing, or motivate you to help others do the right thing. But when you're out of control, whenever you're out of control, yeah, it's a sin. Because Satan can take advantage of you. So anger is taking over you. I rebuke you, you spirit of anger. I break your power in my life. It doesn't matter if everybody in your family is angry. You will not allow it to dominate you. Hallelujah. If there's a sickness and a disease that's running through your family line, you have to make up your mind that it has to stop with you. Amen. If it doesn't stop overnight, don't worry about it. But don't back off. Amen. Don't you ever capitulate. Yeah? And say, well, it's in my family line. You submitted. Don't submit. You submit to God. Amen? You resist what? The devil. What do you do to the devil? You resist him. Amen? Please give me the remaining lines of that place. Let me teach it and then we leave.
And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
Okay, please can you give me that amplified version? John 14, 13. I want to teach you something very important there. John 14, 13. John 14, 13. Amplified. Thank you. Thank you. John 14, 13. Who has it? Amplified. John 14, 13. Yes, let me take another person. John 14, 13. Yes.
And I will do, I myself will grant, whatever you ask in my name, as presenting all that I am.
Amen. But let me explain that. He is not telling you about what you pray to the Father. That's in John 16. Let me explain this. This has to do with the works of Christ. Because the previous verse tells you that he that believes in me, the works that I do, he will do. So for example, when I lay hands on the sick, or when I rebuke the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus, I'm not praying to the Father. I'm not saying, Father, come and chase away this spirit of fear. Hey, it's not there in the New Testament. You don't say it. Yeah? You rebuke it. Why? Because that's what Jesus would do. So he said, when you rebuke it in his name, he said that he will come. He's like backing up power. You have exercised your authority in his name. He comes to back you up. Yeah? Whatever you ask or whatever you demand in my name, I will do it. So you need to understand that when you're using authority in Christ, imagine that Christ is showing up to do it. This is what I'm trying to teach you. He is the backing up power to do for you what you do in his name. And in his name, he's not just using his name. His name means you are as presenting everything he is. For example, you can't use the name of Jesus to promote unrighteousness. He will not back you up. If it works, it was not Jesus that did it, it was Satan. Amen? Jesus has no obligation to back you up on a mission that he did not send you. Amen? Jesus has no obligation to back you up on a cause that is not consistent with who he is. Amen? But when you launch out on a cause that's consistent with who he is, who is he? When Jesus was on earth, he healed the sick. Amen? He healed the sick. He set the captives free. He cast out devils. Yeah? He preached the gospel. He discipled people. That's who he is. So every time you act in his name to exercise authority that is corresponding to who he is, he says, I will back you up. Amen? I will back you up. Say, I have backing. You don't get it. Say, I have backing. You have to carry that. That's authority. The power of your authority is that you understand you have what? Backing. I have backing. Say, don't mess with me. I have backing. Amen? And if you don't know mess, you will face it. If you don't face it, you will never learn that I have backing. Amen? Let's rise up. I could not teach everything I wanted to say, but I don't have to. The Holy Spirit will teach you. So the way we want to go into prayer is this. You have to understand that if you're in Christ, Christ has given the authority to act in his name as representing who he is. Most of our lives, yeah, the devils try to mess up. You see, the devil is a prince of spiritual corruption. He's always trying to destroy or to steal or to kill. You are going to have to resist the devil if you want the victory. You will resist the devil using the name of Jesus as representing everything that he is. You will take whatever is presenting your life that is not conforming to who Jesus is. Name the spirit by its symptom. You name the spirit by what? Its symptom or its behavior. And say, you spirit of this, I bind you. See, Bible Matthew 18 says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. That's back. backing. You have to understand this scripture. The scripture is like, he's saying that you do it here, we will back you up. Amen? Whatever you lose or not shall be losing them. That's backing. You take action as representing who we are here, we will back you up. Amen? So, you name whatever it is by its symptom or its behavior. And you have to say, I'm going to teach you and I'll give you some quiet time to practicalize it here. You will name it. You don't need to shout it. In the spirit, they can hear you. Amen? You name it by its behavior, its symptom. You say, I bind you in my life. To bind it is to bind it. You know, like, I rebuke you. I break your power in my life. And I command you to lose your hold over me. It doesn't matter where it's coming from. Believe. Amen? Use the name. Speak out. Take action. And stand firm. And you will have what? The victory. Can I just give you like 2 minutes or three? Even in low tones, you can do what I'm telling you. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead. Name. Look at. Scan first in your own life. Look at whatever the symptoms are. You will know, because the symptoms always represent darkness or spiritual darkness. They always represent, you know, backwardness, bondage. You name it by the symptom and call it the spirit of this. In the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you in my life. I break your power in my life. I refuse to be under your dominion. I break your stronghold in my life. I command you to take your hands off me. There is a spirit of sickness and disease. You see Jesus, you know, rebuking them. So I rebuke you. You will not take hold over me. You may be coming from my family, but you stop here. I'm in Christ now. Oh, things are passed away. I break your power in my life. I break your power in my life. I break your power in my life. Take your hands off me. In the name of Jesus, look at your current struggles. Name them by their symptoms. And say, you spirit of this, I bind you. Be bold. You have to be bold. I bind you. I rebuke you. I resist you. Take your answer. Be gone. Stop in your operations against me. Sometimes, if you are experiencing a mind block, don't let it stay. So I rebuke you, spirit. Trying to take over my mind. I bind you. You're not here. I break your power. Lose your hand. Lose your hands. Lose your hands over my head. Lose and be gone. Spirit of depression, I bind you. There's such a spirit. There's even the spirit of poverty. I bind you. I break your spirit of backwardness. I bind you. There's a spirit that makes people just, they behave anyhow. They don't know what they are doing. It's a spirit of foolishness. I bind you, spirit of foolishness. You know, if a spirit of foolishness, when it takes over, you will be wasting resources, wasting time. You don't know what you are doing. Others can see that you have a problem. You don't know that you have a problem. I bind you, spirit of foolishness. I break your power in my life. I command you to cease in your operations against me. In the name of Jesus. If you are being oppressed in your dreams, bind that spirit. Nightmare, oppression, bind it. And say, I am in Christ. I belong to Jesus. You are not going to dominate. I break your power. In the name of Jesus Christ. Anything that is taking over you, that you know this thing, if it shut down my life, begin to bind it. Bind it. In the name of Jesus Christ. I say the blood of Jesus is against you. I say I'm redeemed by the blood. I refuse to be in bondage. Thank you, Lord, for the victory. Oh, Jesus is backing me up. He's backing me up. He's backing me up. Hallelujah. I'm in Christ. He's backing me up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.